Breaking free. Breaking free means breaking from any restrictions that the media's put on you, your emotions, toxic relationship, thought patterns, bad scenarios. Oh, before I forget, everything I'm talking about in this podcast is going to be taken out of the book that I'm currently working on, my second book, and that's called The Wisdom of the Penis, Adjusted. Desperately needed. Okay, so I want to talk about something really, really important. I actually think this is the golden nugget that actually keeps us in hell. We've been given this like incredible mind, but we haven't been taught how to use it fully. We've been taught how to use it as storage, which actually could explain why there's so much garbage up there. An untrained mind is completely useless, a waste. And more critically, highly toxic. The ability to understand, we've inherited. And although our perceptions are learned, selective for sure, and we have inner guidance, our willingness to listen to that will depend on our willingness to question everything we've learned about ourselves. Because we can't teach ourselves what we don't know. Which begs the question, where did we learn, and how did we get directed to hang on to pain? I mean, why can't we let it go after years and years and years? Why do we keep remembering that shit in exact detail? I mean, it hurts. Why wouldn't we just drop it? If someone throws a hot rock at you, you're going to drop it, right? You're not going to catch it because it's going to singe your fingers. Only emotional pain is going to singe your soul, man. Why can't we just let it go? I mean, it's ridiculous if you think about it. Oh, and then we carry that and bring it on to the next person, use them as our waste station. Because as soon as we know they're really into us or they love us, and we're like in this forever thing, well, at least in their mind, it's going to be the first, second, or third little fight that we have that's going to cause a big reaction, and we are going to so-called overreact to it because of all this pain we've stored inside us for years and years and years. Since the pain has accumulated every time we went from this relationship to that relationship to the next relationship and next relationship, we have much more pain now. And so it's gained momentum. It's heavier. So it's going to seek a way out. And that person that we reacted to is not even really the person we're reacting to. That little trigger of that first or second, third fight is actually a match that ignites us because we're like this whole body filled with the gasoline of pain. And that's only if we're willing to risk and actually connect to a new person. Because now our biggest fear and what's totally consuming our ass is that our past is going to be exactly like our future. So we're scared shitless that it's going to happen again. We might not even hook up with another person. So why is it that we hang on to pain when it doesn't even fucking make sense? I'll tell you why. Because we've been conditioned by society, culture, hypnosis for sure, to use our memory for the past, not to use it for the present. We can't even remember where we put our keys. And then when people are like, hey, how are you? What's up? How are you? We haven't even answered yet. And they're like, good, 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 good. Because we're not present. We're used to having our memory function in and for the past. Because if it was functioning in the present, we'd be like drama free. We'd be like, okay, Kay, I'm remembering right now. Snapshot. Nice. I'm chilling. Because now is the only thing that actually exists, really. And it's a very, very powerful place to be. It's where anything is possible. Because that's where you can give birth to an idea, a thought, something that makes you feel great. And you're completely untouchable. But instead, we're being trained to think about what's already happened, which is so fucking lame. And for all you go-getters out there, your to-do list for what's going to happen. But even you guys are going to be redirected to your past because that's where all your peak moments are. Even if you did have joyful events, your peak moments of pain fear, loss, devastation is going to take precedent. You're not used to using your memory for the present. You're used to using your memory for the past. And you wonder why half the time it feels like there's this, these blocks of times that have been wiped from your memory. Deja vus. As long as your past is filled and buried with all this gawk of volatile emotions that never got solved, you were never at peace with, you're going to be in survival mode. Even if it is just under the radar. And it's going to be itching for a fight, just to escape itself once there's another human being on the scene and it feels safe to come out and play. And until that happens, you're going to be locked in, frozen. And that's how you're walking through life, frozen, with the backpack of frozen pain, which takes up all your energy because it's fucking heavy. So you're lethargic, walking through life. You've lost your spark. And of course, everybody's like, oh, that's just age. Oh, and I'll debunk that whole age theory in another podcast. That's so whacked. So now you're using your memory to keep your past alive and your present dead. Hello, zombie world. Totally. Because your focus is back there. And since it's back there, you're going to need a thing called distractions. So hello, porn. Hello, booze. Gossip, video games nonstop. What a waste of fucking life, man. And the worst, that pain is taking up so much space. Such a memory hog. So now love has no room. There's no room to come in. Major cock blocker. So here's what I need you to do. If old pain surfaces, remind yourself that its cause is gone. It's gone. Even though hell is very difficult for us to deal with, bliss would be even harder, since our definition of bliss is hell. So bliss would be our biggest threat, since it'd mean it'd have to destroy the reality we've convinced ourselves is real. And when we question our reality, it means we'd be questioning ourselves. So forever stuck. You don't have to fight your feelings. You have to overwhelm them and crush them with positive things happening. There's a reason our eyes are placed in the front of our head and not on the back of our ass. There's a reason. We're meant to look forward. And if something's taking up space and we can't take in love, because there's anger, pain, and hatred there, it also means we're going to expect that with the next person. We're going to look for ways that they extend that, even if they're not doing it, since that's all we feel inside. And we're taught to continue to make it present. If we feel it present inside, we're going to have to attract it on the outside. So it doesn't matter what the person says or does. We're going to contort it and distort it, whatever they say or do, from a dominant focus of our memory, which is in the past. Since the ego is grounded in fear and makes us feel like it has to protect us, that's where it'll be overreactive. So here's a little exercise I want you to try. Do you notice when you're in the car listening to great music, or at a concert, or watching a movie that makes you laugh, you have this like constant smile on your face. That smile tells your brain you're happy. So the next time you're in a car, when you're coasting or driving somewhere, even if the music's not on, or you're standing in line, just smile. Okay, I know it sounds really stupid simple, but just listen. You don't need to show all your fucking teeth, okay? Because you might actually scare people. Well, that'll make you smile too, but whatever. Just a simple smile. You know, like when you have a good feeling. Like you've had your eye on some person and all of a sudden after months, they look back at you, man. Now, when you smile, don't smile and judge yourself. Don't give yourself like an A, B, or C plus. Don't rate your ass. Don't look down from your mind and separate yourself from the feeling of your smile. And then you'll be like, okay, this is just so dumb. I feel stupid. What the fuck is this? Because then you're not in your smile feeling good. I need you to smile. And if you're driving, just think of a blank slate. Just say to yourself, blank slate, to divert your mind from putting in its 2 cents and making fun of you. If you're driving, standing, or walking, just be like, okay, blank slate. Keep your eye on the road, but just say blank slate. Because at that point, your mind will go on mute. And then within 3 to 5 seconds, the feeling of the smile while you're smiling will register to your brain as joy. There's a lot of times at night you could be driving and it's dark and the weather sucks and you feel like shit. You see, because when the sun is out and it makes you smile, that's okay. But if you have nothing that usually makes you smile and you're all alone without your friend distracting you with their jokes, farts, or drama, or you're not playing video games, texting, or sexting, and you just smile, you won't feel alone anymore. You won't feel isolated, pathetic, depressed, and forgotten. Kind of like when you do something you love, you feel loved back. You don't have to wait to fall in love. Do something that you love and you feel loved back. So when you smile, the world does really smile with you, because the world is a creation. And creation is love, man. Creation is love. So re-trigger that whole bliss shit going on. You're never going to stop it once you get on that. You'll have like this superpower. And if you smile, you'll be in sync with that formula. And you'll feel good. It's not like when people say, think positive, and you're like, okay, but my life so fucking sucks. This isn't about trying to outsmart your brain. Well, at least not directly. There's no work on your part with trying to find thoughts while you feel like shit that are great. Just exercise your face. Lift the corners of your mouth up. Prevent premature wrinkles. And let that communicate to your body while overriding your brain. And be one with love. Yoda Lina has spoken.